So friends, today's feast day, the presentation of the Lord always falls 40 days after Christmas, as if Mary and Joseph would have done this on the 40th day, but it almost never falls on a weekend. So this is kind of a rare year in which we get to celebrate this feast day and highlight it a little more significantly on the weekend. And so what I wanted to do was just share a couple insights from what actually would have happened on this day, and then some spiritual lessons that we can glean from this feast. So what Luke does in the gospel here, he seems to sort of mesh together three things that Mary and Joseph would have had to do as part of prescriptions of the Mosaic law for a firstborn male. And Luke, it's clear, is not interested a ton in getting every detail right here. He's much more interested in the kind of theological and spiritual kernel that's sort of the overarching thing, because he seems to kind of conflate these three things. So the first would have been the purification of the mother, the purification of Mary. So again, this is hard for us to understand all of the ceremonial and sort of bodily laws of the Old Covenant. But Mary would have been asked after the pregnancy to make a purification offering, to make herself clean again for worship in the temple. And that involved, on the 40th day, a purification sacrifice, which was for the rich, a lamb. If they could afford it, they would offer a lamb. But if they couldn't, they would offer turtle doves or two young pigeons as an offering in the temple, a purification sacrifice. So that's the first piece. The second was the presentation. So the Mosaic law had prescribed that the firstborn male was to be consecrated and presented to God in a special way. This obviously has its roots in the sparing of the firstborn in the Exodus story in Egypt, and became the way that God sort of fitted his army in the Old Testament. The firstborn male was consecrated and presented to God, and then entrusted with being part of the tribe of Levi and made to offer sacrifice and worship in the temple. And so the firstborn son was sort of given to God and presented to God in the temple. And then the third piece is what was called the redemption. So after presenting the firstborn son to the temple priest, the father would offer 5 shekels, and then the priest would symbolically give the child back to the parents. So the parents would basically buy back their child from the temple priest to then obviously take them home and raise them, with the expectation that eventually they would come under the service of the temple. So Luke presents these three things sort of in a conflated way. And I just wanted to kind of draw out a couple spiritual lessons from these. So on the purification of Mary, Luke does make clear that Mary offers the poor person's offering. So as I mentioned, if you had means, you would offer a lamb as a purification sacrifice. But if you didn't have means, you would offer turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And Luke tells us that they made the poor person's offering, that Mary and Joseph were not of means, and so they offered that. And so spiritually, I want us to embrace the idea that, like, we give God what we have in our poverty, in our littleness. We just give it to God, right? We don't have a ton to give to God, right? But we give them what we can, and we don't get all caught up. I mean, I don't know. You could sort of psychoanalyze this day, be like, gosh, it had to be discouraging for them to offer the 2 turtle doves, and then the next couple over is offering this huge lamb, and just to get all kind of comparing, you know, like, oh man, they have means, they can offer a better sacrifice to God for this child, and we don't have means, so we're offering these little turtle doves and pigeons. All I can think of when I think of turtle doves is Home Alone. By the way, I just Can't even say the word without thinking of Home Alone. That has no relevance to the homily. It just came across my mind. But just like the idea that, you know, when we come here on Sundays, we offer God what we are in its littleness, in its smallness, in its spiritual poverty, and we just say, you know what, maybe I'm not offering what the guy or the gal sitting next to me is offering. Maybe they have more to offer this Sunday than I do. But I offer what I have, right? And that's what Mary and Joseph did. And so it's a spiritual invitation for that. The second, the presentation, I want to invite us spiritually to truly present ourselves to the Lord, right? One of the coolest parts of this being a baby that's presented is that babies have no false pretenses, right? So we have Clara with us today, Hillary, our campus minister, and Zach, her husband, obviously, had a little baby girl, Clara, who will baptize after Mass, and their family, so we welcome you. But the best thing about babies is that they are what they are. You know, like, they haven't, like us adults, developed a bunch of coping and defense walls and mechanisms to build up to protect ourselves. They just are what they are. You know, like, and that's why I always tell parents at a baptism, because they're all nervous. They're like, you know, we want our baby to behave. And I always say at the beginning, if the baby cries, that's no problem. That's what babies do. Babies cry. They go to the bathroom when they want. They don't think that's embarrassing. You know, the baby is what it is. So you can imagine Mary and Joseph presenting the baby Jesus on the 40th day. And that's a beautiful image for us at the Mass. Because at the Mass, we shouldn't have these walls, these protecting walls, to block giving Jesus everything. Right? Right? So much of our life sometimes is spent building and erecting these walls, these defense mechanisms. And what we're encouraged, I think, spiritually to do on this feast day is just to present to Jesus at every Mass, but especially this weekend, just ourselves. And that has good things, and that has bad things, and we just present it all to him. Say, Lord, I'm not going to hide, you know? I'm just going to be myself, right? I'm not going to constantly compare. I'm just going to be who I am before you. That's a beautiful spiritual place to be in, and a place that we need to be in so that the Lord can actually get into those parts of us that need transformation. The third, the redemption. What's interesting is Luke doesn't present the redemption. He does not present the giving of the 5 shekels and the taking back of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, which I think is Luke's way of saying Jesus never actually really came back to his parents, meaning he was always going to be fully in the service of God. Like, once he was given over to God's service in the temple, he remained spiritually in God's service. Yes, he went back to Mary and Joseph physically and was raised by them. But it's Luke's way of telling us that he was always in the service of the temple. He was always in the business of doing God's work from his 40th day on, right? And so that's a reflection for us that our relationship with the Lord has to be primary over everything else, right? It's got to be primary. We know, of course, that Jesus eventually does offer the redemption 33 years later, right, in which he will lay down his life completely and buy humanity back from our grips with evil through his sacrifice on the cross, right? We know he eventually experiences that redemption that Luke doesn't narrate on the 40th day. But I just want to use that to spiritually invite us to the idea that we are meant to be given over also in the Lord's service. And yes, we have other relationships, all of which are good, family and friends and career and everything else, but service of God, right, and following his call for our life has to remain at the forefront and at the center of following him. One final image for this feast day is the image of light. So this day is, you probably have, maybe have heard, this day is called Candlemas, which stems from Simeon's words in our gospel today, that Jesus telling Mary and Joseph that this little child is going to become a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. And so this was the traditional day that all candles were blessed for the coming year. Now, I will admit to you that we're not doing anything with that today because I'm just not organized. So I'm sure there are parishes doing, because we were supposed to have a big procession, like we're coming into the temple, and they bless all the candles for the coming year. But I just didn't get organized enough to do it. So please forgive me for that. But that was kind of the day, and this was the end of the Christmas season. I think I told you that early on, that I keep generally my tree up till February 2nd, because that was the traditional end of the Christmas season. Not because I keep the old calendar, because I'm lazy and don't want to take my tree down, right? But this was the traditional end of the Christmas season, right? And so this image of light, which of course then permeates the rest of Jesus' ministry, right? I am the light of the world, right? We sang, Christ be our light, as we came in today. This image of Jesus as the light of the world that's meant to scatter the darkness of our hearts and allow us to be a light on a hill for other people, right? You know, in the baptism right after after Mass, the parents and godparents will light the little baptismal candle from the Easter candle, right? And that's a significant part of that baptismal rite, that this light is entrusted to the parents and godparents and eventually to Clara, right? That Clara will allow the light of Christ to scatter the darkness of her heart, and eventually that she becomes that living channel of Christ's light into the world, right? And so all of this imagery of the presentation is meant to lead us closer to Christ, right? And so I invite us to take these spiritual lessons from this feast, which we don't get to celebrate on Sunday very often, right? But the image that that we're meant to present ourselves sort of unfiltered to Jesus, not hiding. We can't hide from him. We just need to be an open book before him interiorly and spiritually, so that he can actually work in the areas of our life that need purification, to offer whatever we have, like Mary and Joseph did, even if it's small, like turtle doves and pigeons, even if we can only offer the poor person sacrifice on any given Sunday, right? We offer that, we present that to the Lord, and then to see ourselves in service of our calling in the Lord's service, and then to allow the light of Christ to penetrate our hearts precisely so that our life can be a light for others. I just want to end with the line that said at the Easter vigil. So we're out at the fire, and we light the Easter candle from the fire, the Easter vigil, and then the priest sings or says, may the light of Christ rising in glory dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds. Let that be our prayer today, that on this feast day we present ourselves fully to the Lord and allow him to work on us, to purify us, to transform us, to redeem us, so that we can be a light for the world. May the light of Christ rising in glory dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds.